I was speaking to my parents last night, and they remember a Christmas concert where I sang noticeably out of tune. So in studies of this sort, it's possible that people might have been able to go back and ask other people about when their voice broke, and the data can be collected not necessarily from the individual in a single sitting.
Do you remember when you went through puberty? Well, apparently, getting your period is much more memorable than anything men go through. And so, for many years, there has been a hole in the research regarding men and puberty. But now, Dr. Felix Day and his team have matched genetic data to personal accounts to prove, once and for all, that men can at least be trusted to remember when their voices broke. What's more, they have been able to use this tool to perform the largest ever genomic study on puberty timing, with a sample of 55,000 men. And the results? Well, they were a little surprising.
The biology that determines the timing of puberty in both men and women is very similar. There are a few specific cases where we can see that there are differences, but in the main, it's the same underlying biological pathways in both men and women.
But they're leading to very different...
They are. I mean, clearly the changes that go on in a man's body as opposed to the changes that go on in a woman's body are very different, but what sparks that initiation is very similar.
So what does it mean? What does it mean that they use the same processes?
Adiposity is the amount of fat you have in your body. So people who go through puberty earlier tend to be fatter as adults. The one thing it probably does show is that the efforts to reduce adiposity across the lifespan are going to have benefits in both men and women, particularly the sort of double whammy of adiposity and early puberty that we see in some diseases. So there's a very complex interplay between the shape of your body and the timing of puberty.
And you're interested in this because you have a hunch, maybe, about the link to puberty to later on disease, is that right?
So one of the things we were able to do with this study particularly is we were able to look at whether there was shared genetics between puberty and disease. So one possible approach is to find a change in the DNA that you know to be associated with puberty and check to see whether that change in the DNA is also associated with another disease. But a more comprehensive way that we used in this paper was to actually look at the whole of the DNA and to see whether across all of the DNA, the regions that were more associated with puberty were more likely also to be associated with other diseases. And certainly we show that there is a definite association with cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes, which were the two diseases that were coming out as particularly strong in the observational work that we'd done before.
Couldn't it just be due to childhood obesity?
Childhood obesity is certainly a possible confounder in the situation, so a confounder is something that externally explains the situation. And it's quite difficult to measure childhood obesity as well. You know, getting children into studies, they're less receptive than adults, you have smaller studies, they're less well powered to identify effects. But in terms of the adult adiposity, obesity, we're seeing that there are effects that are independent of your body shape as an adult. So in case of type 2 diabetes, there's definitely a risk of being a person who went through puberty earlier and is therefore more likely to be overweight as an adult on diabetes, but there's a separate independent effect of going through puberty earlier. So there's a double whammy on that.
So where do you go next?
Well, with all of these things, data is key. And there are already moves to try and get more data on this. I mean, 55,000 sounds like a lot of people, but for many genetic studies these days, we're talking closer to 500,000. So with more genetic data, we'll be able to uncover more biology. The other thing that we were particularly interested in was we've identified a particular class of genes. These are retinoic acid receptors, which are important for hormone pathways. And we think that exploring the biology of this particular class of genes might help us understand some of the biological pathways in more detail.
Do you think that if you prove these causations, this is going to have a big effect on the way we view health and puberty?
I don't think at any point there's going to be a move to medicalize the timing of puberty, except in those rare cases where people have very delayed or very early puberty. But I think the one thing it possibly highlights is the importance of a healthy lifestyle all the way through a person's development. And there's work going on in other areas of the unit that's looking at infant nutrition and physical activity in primary schools. And I think that these are areas where there's important development and research that can go into improving public health.